Philippians chapter 4, and our text for today is that verse 4. This, of course, is a letter, an epistle of much rejoicing on the part of the Apostle Paul. Even though he wrote this letter in prison, yet Paul was continually rejoicing in the Lord. And now he exhorts the believers at Philippi to rejoice also. And to them he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. It is an interesting observation that this appeal, rejoice in the Lord always, follows Paul's exhortation to Euodias and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And it would appear that the quarrel between the two women had affected the rest of the congregation. And such petty differences between believers will, of course, grieve the Holy Spirit and indeed discourage the people of God. And so this appeal to rejoice in the Lord could be seen as a timely word for all concerned. He has already told the women to be of the same mind in the Lord. Now he calls upon all the congregation to rejoice in the Lord. It is always a timely word, of course, when our thoughts are directed towards the Lord Jesus. That's always a timely word. But especially so when there was this quarrel between two individuals and there was the danger of it spreading throughout the whole congregation and dividing the church. Let those women think less then about the faults that they may see in each other and turn away and gaze upon the faultless and sinless Redeemer. And if only they were to do that, then that quarrel would come to an abrupt end. If only they, and indeed the whole congregation, could see no man save Jesus only, then the grieved spirits would be made glad. The sad heart would be made joyful. And the broken fellowship would be mended. A timely word indeed. Rejoice in the Lord always. But I see these words not only as a timely word, but a teaching word. If a quarrel had developed between Euodias and Syntyche and the congregation was feeling the effects of that quarrel, some may have wondered, well, what are we going to do now? What is the answer to this particular problem that has arisen within our congregation? Here Paul teaches the saints what they ought to do. And what ought to be done? Rejoice in the Lord. That's what's to be done. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. For you see, believer, rejoicing in the Lord is like a medicine. And if the believers at Corinth, particularly Euodias and Syntyche, were to rejoice in the Lord, then that medicine would cure their critical spirit, their stubborn wills, and their hardened hearts. Because none of them was willing to make the first move to bring about a reconciliation. There was a stubbornness there And as the days were going by, that stubbornness would develop into a hardness. And so Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Forget about criticizing each other. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, and that will bring peace and unity and a loving and charitable attitude to all who were met there in the congregation. So this is what they would do. This is Paul teaching the congregation what they ought to do. Rejoice in the Lord. Now, if it's a timely word and a teaching word, would this not also be a triumphant word? For if the women were to turn from their quarreling and rejoice in the Lord, then they would rise in triumph above their differences and above their disputings one with the other. They would gain victory over what they were quarreling about. And suddenly whatever divided them would not seem as important anymore. And instead of being embroiled in an argument, they would be living triumphantly for Christ, because they were not doing that at the time that Paul wrote this letter. They were not living in triumph and triumphing in the Lord. But Paul's words were not just for the benefit of Euodias and Syntyche, but it was for the benefit of every saint in the church at Philippi. And these things are written for our learning. And so here is a word for us also. What is that word? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. What would these words speak to us of? As believers, they would speak to us of our fellowship in Christ. If you're rejoicing in the Lord, you're in fellowship with Christ. If we are rejoicing in the Lord, then we're in fellowship with Him. The Lord is the one who fills the heart and the soul of the Christian with joy. The more we see of Christ, the more we speak with Christ, the more we talk about Christ, the more we think about Christ, the nearer we get to Christ, then the more joy we will have in our hearts. That is a fact. Because the Lord Jesus is the source. He is the fountainhead of our joy and our happiness. And so you can see Paul's reasoning here. There was this quarrel. No doubt people were talking about it. And people's minds were more now upon this division that had arisen between Euodias and Syntyche. And Paul wants to get their minds again on the Lord. Instead of being grieved, he wanted them to rejoice and be glad. And for that to happen, they had to look again to Christ Himself. Rejoice in the Lord. Get back into fellowship with Christ and you'll be rejoicing in Him. When you think of this joy, this rejoicing and this joy that we have in Jesus Christ, it is, first of all, a pure joy. Rejoice in the Lord. Your joy will be in the Lord. And if your joy is in the Lord, then it'll be a pure joy. It will be a joy of the purest kind. Now in the days when you and I walked according to the course of this world, when we were the children of darkness, what was it that we rejoiced in then? What did we take pleasure in then? In our unconverted days, in our unregenerate days. Did we not rejoice and take pleasure in our sin, in that which was evil and wicked? Rather, in that which was pure and wholesome. And speaking about the unregenerate man, Solomon writes of him saying, of the unregenerate man who rejoiced to do evil. The unregenerate man rejoices in evil and delights in the forwardness of the wicked. So there's his rejoicing and there is his delight in that which is evil and wicked. Proverbs 2 verse 14. And that which brings joy and happiness to the heart of the ungodly man has not changed. For the depraved nature of man will find pleasure and joy in unclean things and all that is unclean in the world. They'll laugh at the lewd jokes. They'll seek anything that is unclean in this world to give them some kind of pleasure and bring some kind of happiness to their heart. But the Christian's joy is pure. The Christian's joy is a pure joy because the Christian rejoices not in unclean things, not in vile things or corrupt things. The Christian rejoices in the Lord. Rejoices in Him who is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. And since we love the Lord Jesus, we rejoice in Him and He fills us with joy. Does He not? Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 6, charity, love, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Charity does not rejoice in iniquity. But charity or love rejoiceth in the truth. And Christ is all truth. And the joy that we have today as believers is pure joy. For our joy is in Christ. Our rejoicing is in Him. And we no longer find pleasure, or neither do we rejoice in the unclean things of the world. Rather, we abhor those things, and those things now grieve us. It's a pure joy. It's also a particular joy. Because Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. So our joy comes from the Lord and no one else. Or nowhere else. Paul didn't say, rejoice in what you have achieved. Which is what Solomon did. You turn to Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, in chapter 2, we find Solomon at a time when he was away from the Lord. And what he rejoiced in. Ecclesiastes 2. And verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem, also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not from my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. My heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Look at the next chapter, chapter 3. And verse 22. Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that it is portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Solomon's not talking about rejoicing in the Lord because he's not in fellowship with the Lord when he wrote Ecclesiastes. And you can see where his focus is. It's upon his works and what he has done and what he has achieved and upon self. Paul doesn't say to us, rejoice in what you have achieved. No, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Neither did he say, rejoice in what you have acquired. For as David said, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Don't set your heart upon your riches if they increase. Don't rejoice in what you have acquired. Don't rejoice in what you have achieved. Rejoice in the Lord. May Christ your treasure. For the Savior himself said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And believer, where is our heart today? Is Christ our treasure? Is he the most precious possession that we have? For wherever our treasure is, that's where our heart will be. And if Christ is our treasure and our heart is there with Christ, we shall rejoice in him. We'll be in fellowship with him, rejoicing in him. And we shall have that joy that Peter spoke about, joy unspeakable and full of glory. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. And this is the joy and the happiness that cannot be found anywhere else. And I believe Peter was emphasizing that when he spoke about joy unspeakable and full of glory, because that word unspeakable is not used anywhere else in Scripture, not used of anything or any person. It's a word that is used exclusively of the joy that we have in Christ. Joy unspeakable. We have joy unspeakable. And it's found in Christ alone. The unconverted cannot find anything in the world which will bring them unspeakable joy. Such joy is unique to those of their faith in Jesus Christ. That in itself, believer, ought to make us rejoice. That we have the one in our hearts. We know him by faith. The one who gives us joy unspeakable. Praise the Lord. We have joy unspeakable that cannot be found anywhere else. Search the wide world over and you will not find anything or anyone who can bring us such unspeakable joy. none but Christ. The prophet knew something of this unique joy that's found alone in the Lord. But we read in Isaiah 61 and verse 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Not just rejoice, but greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Believer, is your soul glad in God today? Are you greatly rejoicing in the Lord? If so, that's an indication that you're in fellowship with the Lord. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. That just sums up our position in Christ. With his salvation, he has cleansed us and he has clothed us in his righteousness. Unspeakable joy found in Jesus Christ alone. Rejoice in the Lord always. Then you will notice also that this joy would be a perceived joy. That is, the Christian who is rejoicing in the Lord, the Christian who is walking in fellowship with the Lord, cannot hide his joy. It will be seen by others. You know that to be true. You have met those believers who always seem to be rejoicing. You know they always seem to be in fellowship with the Lord. When the sinner comes in contact with the Christian who is rejoicing in the Lord, that sinner cannot help but notice that that Christian has something that they don't have. You ever go into a store and someone comes up to serve you and it's all they can do to smile? And sometimes they don't even smile. They hardly bid you the time of day. The child of God is to stand out from the world. And when the child of God is rejoicing in the Lord, when the child of God is in fellowship with the Lord, that joy will be seen. It will be seen by others. How often have we prayed? When prayed in our own prayer meetings. Lord, give me that in my life that will cause the sinner to say, I want what that man has. And if we have the joy of the Lord in our hearts and the joy of the Lord can be seen, then would that not encourage the sinner to say, I want that joy too? There are many more flies caught with honey than with vinegar. And there are many more sinners brought to Christ by a happy, joyous Christian than by doleful, sour Christians. So Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And others will see it. And with the joy of the Lord in our hearts and in our countenance, we will draw sinners to Christ. Sinners will want to know what we have that they don't have. And we'll be able to tell them we have the Lord. And the Lord gives us this joy and the Lord gives us this happiness. The Christian who is in fellowship with Christ, rejoicing in Him, will not be able to hide his joy. The joy will be seen in our countenance, witnessed in our conduct, and detected in our conversation. So let us take to heart the words of Paul. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. So this joy in the Lord, this rejoicing in the Lord, speaks of our fellowship in Christ. But look again what Paul said. Rejoice in the Lord. There is our focus on Christ. Rejoice in the Lord. The focus is on Jesus Christ. In their search for happiness and joy, the unconverted will focus their attentions upon what the world has to offer. We know, because we have all been there. But the Christian has his focus not on the worthless trinkets of Vanity Fair, but in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. That's where our joy is found. Our focus is on him. Our focus is not on things. Our focus is on a person. Person of the Lord Jesus. Think for a moment. Focus your attention on the Lord Jesus. And then think over in your mind. What is it about Christ that make you rejoice? Just on his person. We know that he has done much for us that causes us to rejoice. They're not thinking so much about what he has done. Just his person. What is it about the person of Christ that makes you rejoice? Makes me rejoice. If I were to think about the person of the Lord Jesus, I would think about him as a gentle person. Is Christ not a gentle person? We focus on the person of the Lord. The Lord Jesus himself rejoices. We read in Luke 10, verse 21, in that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit. And he's the shepherd. He is the good shepherd who says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Rejoice with me. And the Lord also said in John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now there's something here I'd like to point out. The Lord here speaks about His joy in us. His joy in us. He gives us His joy. But really, that's not what Paul is speaking about here. He's speaking about our rejoicing in Him. In who He is. Just as we read in Scripture about the child of God enjoying peace with God. That speaks of our relationship. Peace with God. That's different from us having the peace of God. That speaks of our rest. Peace with God speaks of our relationship. The peace of God speaks of our rest and what He has given to us. He has given us His peace. He has given us His joy. His joy He has given to us. And then in turn, we fill our hearts with joy by looking at Him, by fellowship with Him. And I think about His person. I think of Him being a gentle person. Since coming to know the Lord Jesus, I, as I'm sure every child of God, has found the dear Savior to be a very gentle person. Did He not say, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My burden is light. I'm meek and lowly." And since we have been yoked with Christ, have we not found Jesus to be a most gentle person? Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the person of Christ. How gently. And I believe these are things we've experienced. How gently He deals with us when we are burdened. As He did with the Father, who came to Him one day with His lunatic son. How gently the Lord dealt with that distressed father. And how gently He has dealt with us when we have come to Him and gone to Him with our burdens. How gently He deals with us when we are bereaved. As He did with Jairus at the bedside of his dead daughter. How gently He deals with us when we are broken. When the tears flow. As He dealt with Peter. Who after He denied Him went out and wept bitterly. But He dealt gently with Peter. Said, "Peter, come and dine." How gently He dealt with us in all our circumstances in life. How gently He dealt with those children who were brought to Him by their mothers. Took them up in His arms. Put His sensitive hands upon them and blessed them. He's a most gentle person. Would that not make us rejoice? When I think of the person of Christ, rejoice in Him. I not only think of Christ being a gentle person, I think of Christ as being a gracious person. The Lord Jesus not only has a gentle nature, he has a gracious nature. He not only has a gentle spirit, he has a gracious spirit. We've never found in him bitterness or harshness or spitefulness. Instead, all graciousness. Isn't that true? How graciously he forgives us when we fall. How graciously he understands us when we faint by the way. How graciously he supports us when we are fearful. Having such a Savior, such a Lord, such a friend as this, there is nothing we can do, surely, but rejoice in him. Rejoice in the Lord. Perhaps that's why we don't rejoice enough. Perhaps that's why we don't have joy in our hearts often enough, because we don't think of him often enough. We don't think of his gentle person. We don't think of this gracious person. If only we would think of him more often. If only we would commune with him more often, talk to him more often. Focus our attention on him more often. No wonder Paul, in all of his letters, spoke about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul often thought of Christ, the gracious person. Let us focus our attention, dear Christian, today on our gracious Lord and rejoice in him. He who giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He who sendeth more strength when the labors increase. And who addeth affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials is multiply peace. His love hath no limit. His grace hath no measure. His power hath no boundary known unto men. For out of the infinite riches in Jesus he giveth. And giveth. And giveth again. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the person of Christ. The gentle person. The gracious person. The good person. Seems so adequate and inadequate, that word, doesn't it? Good. Yet Christ is good. He is all goodness. We may have earthly friends that we are very thankful for. We readily admit that friend of ours is a good person. That's why we regard them as our dearest friends, because they're a good person. And yet, if we were to examine that person closely, we would find flaws there and faults there. They would do things that we don't really like and say things that we don't really agree with. But we say in their heart of hearts, they're a good person. And yet, dear child of God, when we look upon Christ, there are no faults there at all. For he is without blemish. And he's a good friend. He's a good person. He's a good friend to us. He's good because of his divine nature. The rich young ruler came to him one day and said, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." That's what the Lord was teaching the young man. The Lord Jesus, of course, is good because he is God. And one other occasion when people were talking about the Lord, some said of him, "He is a good man." John 7 verse 12. Yes, a good man and a good God. He's the God-man. And he is good. Rejoice in the Lord who is a good person. Isn't he a good person? Psalm 107 verse 8 says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Christ is good and he has shared his goodness with us. How good is the God we adore? He's good. Our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as great as his power, knows neither measure nor end. Regarding his person, he's good. And he is gracious. And he is gentle. And he's a great person. Rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord who is a great person. When we focus on the Lord, don't we see his greatness and his goodness and his grace and rejoice? When the angel Gabriel appeared unto Mary, he told her about the child that she would bear, describing him thus, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Luke 1 and verse 32. And great he was, and great he is. He's greater than Solomon, he's greater than Moses, he's greater than Abraham, he's greater than Jacob. He's greater than every saint on heaven or on earth. When we first came to know him, what did we find in him? We find in him a great Savior. One who loved us and washed us in his own blood, clothed us in his righteousness, and prepared us for the kingdom of heaven. We find in him a great Savior. And then we learn that he's a great Sovereign. No greater King there is than Jesus Christ. We couldn't serve a better king than King Jesus. And then we discovered also he's a great shepherd who led us through life and leads us through life and leads us in the path of righteousness. He is a great shepherd. And in times of trouble, we've proven him to be a great supporter. Rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. Finally and briefly, rejoice in the Lord always. Not just now and again. Always. You see, if you're rejoicing in the Lord, then we're able to rejoice always. Because that's where our joy is found, in the Lord. This then speaks to us of our fullness in Christ. Most will rejoice in the circumstances or their situation, But then whenever their circumstances change, or their situation changes, they no longer rejoice. But the Christian, he rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord never changes. If he's rejoicing in the Lord, then the joy is always there. What he is in Christ, what he has in Christ, is greater than circumstances or riches or possessions. That means then, if we rejoice always, we are to rejoice in times of prosperity. Rejoice in the Lord always, in times of plenty, in times of prosperity, when things are going well. Let us not forget to rejoice in the Lord. It's easy to do that. It's easy to forget to rejoice in the Lord. We may rejoice in our circumstances, what we have gained, what we have. But those gains can be taken from us. We must rejoice in the Lord, just as Hannah rejoiced in the Lord. She had prayed for a son. The Lord blessed her with a son whom she called Samuel. And then we read in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 1, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. No doubt she was glad of her son Samuel, but it doesn't say she rejoiced in her son. She was rejoicing in the Lord, because her son came from the Lord. Let us then rejoice in the Lord. As the choirs of heaven sing, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Now we come to the difficult part. We're to rejoice in the Lord in times of plenty. And if we're to rejoice in the Lord always, that means we're to rejoice in times of poverty. That's not so easy. We could say, it's all right, Paul, you saying that, rejoice in the Lord always. But when times of poverty and loss come, I don't feel like rejoicing. Has the Lord changed? Paul would say. Your circumstances may have changed, but has the Lord changed? No, your rejoicing is to be in the Lord. Through all your circumstances of life. And with this I'll close. The book of the prophet Habakkuk. The prophet there knew what it was to rejoice in the Lord in his days of poverty. He knew the secret of still being able to be joyous and to rejoice even when he lost everything. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice, there it is, in the Lord. It was the Lord who carried them through. He wasn't thinking about his circumstances. His circumstances had changed. He'd lost everything. But still he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places. To the chief singer. Why, when we lose things, we don't feel like singing. Yet Habakkuk says to the chief singer, on my stringed instruments, lost everything, harvest field, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. In Hebrews 10 and verse 34, Paul commends the Hebrew Christians for still rejoicing even though they lost everything. They had found the secret. So let us, believer, by the Lord's grace and His help, rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul then says, and again I say, rejoice. Let us be rejoicing, Christians. Our hearts filled with the joy of the Lord. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let us bow in prayer. O Lord and gracious Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son. Thy Son, who's such a gentle person, such a gracious person. Thy Son, who is such a good person. Thy Son, who's such a great person. Lord, help us to go from this house today rejoicing in the Lord, in what we have in Him, and who He is and what He means to us. Lord, give us the joy of the Lord and have us to rejoice in Thee.